This is underground radio. There is nothing like it within the continental limits of the United States. Brother Love and the Unstraight.
Yes, we are. I love it so much, I can't get up off the couch.
One sees a close relationship between the inner sexual conflicts due to the law of celibacy and the excessive alcoholism among Catholic clergymen.
And we'll do it over and over again until we get exactly what I want.
The association of pleasant reactions, when he comes, will get him to come that much more readily any time in the future.
Hope it makes you feel warm and fuzzy in your dreams.
Some days are like friendship.
I love you. I love you.
But they say, I don't believe in that faith business.
His Bible is the Book of Confessions of Aleister Crowley.
Button.
Let's start with some advice to men on how to have an affair.
My fighters embrace an adrenaline.
Satan.
Is anything happening?
And if you don't get me blood, I'll drink your spits.
He seemed to be making a sort of humming sound, like he had a machine in there that he'd set to work as I'd submitted this thing to a computer.
Brother Love is alone tonight. Underground radio, heavy. Listen, from that great album, here is Possession. Possession.
Sin indeed, word or thought, no matter how long forgotten, must be truly confessed and punished.
I'm on medication.
I'm on medication.
I love to feel it. It get hard in my mouth.
Here a ridiculous point in the church's teachings is made.
It is a blessing of God. I've got knocked down. It's all happened to me twice in my ministry since the very beginning of it. I get excited.
You little bastard.
Someone made a grab for me, but several other people jumped in between, and the police and so forth, and that solved that problem right there.
Sin.
Rancid love. Space of hatred.
So close.
Go back outside.
Eternal I.
Slave.
Well, this is a science fiction song about children from another galaxy who had set their controls for the heart of the sun.
I'm prosperous.
I'm healthy.
I was trained to teach growing youngsters that voting and saluting were the essence of Americanism.
You people know the rules.
While I was also teaching them the principles that would destroy democracy.
In my life, I don't allow them to come real quick, because I don't be there just a buck.
Sex and the Single Girl.
When you come back up to attention, I don't want to see you wiggle or slap those hands.
Gee, that was fun.
The influence of the Roman Catholic Church on all civilization has been far more of evil than of good.
69. When the vagina becomes lubricated, a woman is physically ready to have intercourse. True or false?
Christ, I guess I'll get my milk late again today.
You sure will.
Skinhead revolt!
On Brother Love's Underground Radio. Heavy. Tonight is a lonely night. Raven the Condemned is wandering again. The Observer is nowhere around. Brother Love is alone. The priest is not even here.
That's the way I like it.
You will be shocked by Mr. McLaughlin's further revelations in part 4 of this transcribed program.
Why, you fucking fucker, I know who you are.
I like it. That's the way I like it.
Why don't you come over here,
face
your
face?
What? Your mother is a
hunter. Don't strain your neck muscle. Keep the neck straight.
Plato and Aristotle stressed it as a cardinal principle of human psychology.
And now, listen to my advice.
Satan.
He told us all to hold in it.
Keep that stuff.
Have you had a groovy thing or a day that no one else can do yet? Isn't it a groovy thing to be you? Not the you that others call by name, but the inner you. The you that assails the ugly plastic world. The things of you. The you that nothing or nobody can take away. Your inner life is the only thing that will really own. Because house and book and car and money,
that's the way I like it.
Rising up angry in the sky, and there's a new voice crying, we're not afraid to die. Let the old world make believe it's blind and deaf and dumb, but nothing can change the shape of things to come. There are changes lying ahead in every road, and there are new thoughts ready and waiting to explode. When tomorrow is today, the bells may toll for some, but nothing can change the shape of things to come. The future's coming in now, sweet and strong. Hey, now I'm gonna hold it back for long. Crowding out old realities, there's revolution sweeping in life a fresh new breeze. Let the old world make believe it's blind and deaf and dumb, but nothing can change the shape of things. Nothing can change the shape of things. Nothing can change the shape of things. Nothing can change the shape of things to come.
Be my silent writing across all your skies, the silent writing of Happen Saba.
You hope it never stops. Groovy, I am Brother Love, and I am here with One Nation Underground, with freakouts and...
I'm a big believer in informal and conversational language. We should be as conversational as we can be, because we want to be as accessible as we can be. I certainly don't want us to sound like the paper was edited by a schoolmarm. But somebody's got to keep the language from sliding into the abyss. Without policing, it will tend to slide away from being a useful communication tool.
Give us some examples of things that you, as the language cop, have to arrest before they get out.
I see a lot of words that are just downright misused.
What would be some of those words that you think are misused?
Importantly, when all they mean to say is important. More importantly, they say. Importantly, of course, means to act as though you're important. Nonplussed is another one. The general attitude seems to be that it means unperturbed, when in fact it means bewildered. Bemused is another one. People seem to think it means amused rather than also bewildered or preoccupied. Those are some of the ones that seem to be most common. The people who work here watch cable TV and listen to the radio, and it works its way into their heads.
Again, the spoken is influencing the written, and newspaper copy is being affected or infected by the spoken journalism of radio and TV reporters.
Not because they're bad journalists, but because their delivery is discursive, colloquial, spoken speech, and not written. And it's a different discipline.
It is.
Writing.
It certainly is different. Oh yes. You just have to know how to pronounce the words.
Yeah.
No offense.
I take none.
All over the country, big city newspapers work hard to uphold standards for written English. While the language we speak on the streets of our cities is by its very nature changeable and shifting. For decades, Bill Leboff and his colleagues have been studying how Americans talk. The result is a whole library of recorded voices and a fascinating discovery. It's called the Northern Cities Vowel Shift. Leboff believes there's a revolutionary shift in the pronunciation of short vowels that have been relatively stable for 1,000 years.
What we'll be looking at is this mass of cities around the Great Lakes. Here we have Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, and Cleveland, Detroit.
How many people is that?
It's about 34 million people. This area used to be the closest to network pronunciation. It was what the NBC standard was based on. And today, it is moving further and further away.
Let's go into that in some detail. Let's show us how that's happening.
In these experiments, we played, first of all, an individual word.
Like.
And then people had to write down what they thought they heard. So you can do that yourself. What do you hear?
Black.
And then in another series, they heard...
Living on one block.
Now what do you hear?
Block.
Well, you changed your mind and...
Old senior citizens living on one block.
This person is saying the word block the way they say black. So
the shift in this one vowel seems to have a domino effect on the other four vowels. And they all change too. The result can be serious misunderstandings.
Now, this is spectacular.
Bosses?
Everybody writes down what?
Bosses.
Right. The guy.
Yeah.
The bosses with the antennas.
Now you begin to wonder, what are these?
The bosses with the antennas.
Right. Are carrying?
I can remember vaguely when we had the bosses with the antennas on the top.
So buses has become bosses.
Right.
Yeah.
And so. This is very hard for most people to recognize.
So is it fair to say that North Americans are in different regions, are growing further apart from each other linguistically?
It seems so. It's hard to believe everyone says to us, we all watch the same radio and television. How can that be? It's a very surprising finding.
In the 1960s, Detroit was the home of Motown. Today, there's a thriving hip-hop scene. Even the white crossover rapper Eminem comes from the area called 8 Mile. Inner city Detroit is 82% African-American. But language can define you just as much as the color of your skin. At the main bus station, we meet John Baugh, a professor of linguistics from Stanford University in California. John joins us in Detroit to demonstrate an experiment he's been conducting for years about how Americans react to different accents. It's called linguistic profiling. First, he checks the rental housing section in the city paper. Then he calls properties that are advertised for rent. He calls first using an African-American accent.
Yes, my name is Michael Davis. I was calling to see if you might have any houses for rent that might be available.
Then he calls again, speaking with a Latino accent.
Hello, this is Juan Ramirez. I'm calling about the apartment you have advertised in the paper. Yes, all right.
Finally, he calls in a perfectly neutral American accent, which is, in fact, how he really talks.
What kind of results have you been getting today?
I've actually been getting some mixed results today, but generally speaking, the minority dialects do not fare as well, and particularly in the affluent communities.
Is that race or economic class?
It's both. Race in and of itself will not be the factor that excludes one from a particular neighborhood or a house for sale in an affluent community.
Linguists like Baugh believe such prejudice shows ignorance of black history and language. That history is celebrated in this African-American museum. The stories of slavery and black English are inextricably linked. It's often assumed by blacks as well as whites that African-Americans speak bad or lazy English. In fact, black English has roots as deep and a grammar as consistent as Scottish, Irish, or any other of the Englishes spoken around the world. It was the dreadful traffic in human lives that brought English to the coast of Africa. British and American slavers trading upriver introduced the English language to the African middlemen from whom they bought the slaves. 20 years ago, when we filmed our TV series, The Story of English, we went to an upriver trading post in Sierra Leone. 300 years ago, blacks and whites communicated with a simplified English known as Pidgin.
The contemporary African-American dialects all grew from the trade languages that evolved from slavery. The language mixing that took place between the African languages and English on the west coast of Africa for trading purposes still function today.
Listen up for me.
This Anglo-African mixture is still a lingua franca on this river. River trade carried it down to the coast and slave depots. This is Bunce Island. The ruins of an old slave fort still stand here. To prevent revolts, traders made sure the slaves penned up here spoke different languages. To talk to each other, the slaves created their own pidgin. So even before they left Africa, they were speaking in English that was all their own.
And so the slave factories and these trading languages that you've illustrated here are the very origins of contemporary African-American English.
Twenty years ago, when we filmed off the coast of South Carolina, you could still hear the faint whispers of slave English. On the islands of Kiowa, Edisto, Dafoski, and Wardamala, older people like Benjamin Bligan and his sister Janie Hunter still spoke Gullah and Geechee.
All of you created Madison.
Yeah.
You sit down and eat Madison right
now. Yeah.
All them is Madison.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Madison every day.
Yeah.
Oh, there was
good time, good time.
Yeah. That time stood there right now.
Yeah.
But they just don't want to own it. But I still old time, you know, I keep my old time here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nothing yeah. like it.
Give me the old time religion.
When rural Southern blacks eventually moved to the cities of the North, they brought their own kind of English with them. They're young men now, but 25 years ago, Duane, Asheen, and Keeley were students at this school. Situated in a prosperous, mostly white suburb of Ann Arbor, there were not many black kids at the Martin Luther King School. When they spoke, as they did at home, in African-American English, their teachers simply assumed they couldn't do schoolwork.
it sort of felt like we were unteachable in a sense, I would feel. So I kind of made them go towards other students more and gave them a little bit more help than they would give us.
Can you remember some of the things that were said, teachers would say?
Actually, to be honest, the teachers really didn't even communicate with us too much. It just was sort of like the sense that we were on our own.
Do you remember any of that? You were younger.
I was really young, but I mean, I remember enough to know that I wasn't being treated the same way as all the other kids in the class or a lot of the other kids. You know, that's the irony of it all. It's Martin Luther King School, and, you know, they haven't learned anything from Martin Luther King. Well, hopefully they learned it, but they didn't learn it back then.
Groovy sounds. Brother love, care, heaven.
Well, all right.
Who told you to think?
Now can I play the big bass viol too?
Young, strong, and invincible.
Come on, Lord.
I How just love the English language.
If I hadn't seen you cut them with your finger and write it by five. Lord of God.
The sad thing to me about California in the noughties here is that we are losing our language. Now, of course, everything changes over time. Of course, naturally, it's a natural thing.
You're hurting me with that big finger.
But nonetheless, this language that we've grown up with here is being attacked. Cultures that don't care about the language are slowly pulling it apart. Is that their fault? Is that the fault of teachers? Or is it Kill Radio's fault? Maybe it's all of our fault. Time to stand up for language. This is Moaning Becomes Me. Tuesday morning live. I come in and find the stream is down, computer's off, nothing's playing, tangled up microphone cords, messes, CD3, our old war horse, no longer works. And what do I do about it? Is there language to support it?
Planning that democracy, as we knew it, must die.
Our president doesn't have language.
Renewing itself.
His language is so poor. Maybe it's your fault. Yeah, I blame you. My one listener. Welcome to Moaning Becomes Me.
Three mothers refused to accept second best for their sons. Annie, what was it that got you and other parents upset enough to bring a lawsuit against the school?
My kids was tested and was put into special ed classes, and I felt like that they were not getting educated and was not treated equally, and I felt like that shouldn't be a barrier because of the language to stop them from being educated.
Ruth Zweifler is a social worker familiar with the housing project the boys came from. Listening to Annie tell how her son and his friends were failing at school, she knew something was wrong.
There were maybe 24 poor black children in a sea of affluent white families, and they really were having a very hard time.
Ruth became convinced that the kids were being discriminated against because of their African-American English.
Language is the marker for assumed attitudes, coming with an implied criticism, which is what I think a black child carries with him. We as adults, as mainstream society, as Americans, have really done bad by these little kids.
Hi, Ruth.
Hey.
How are you?
How good to see you.
Good.
Unable to make any headway with the school administrators, Ruth went to Detroit. One of the lawyers she consulted was Ken Lewis. The legal strategy they and others thrashed out led to a landmark court decision on black English.
Our job was to see if we could come up with some legal theories that made sense that we could pursue on their behalf. The initial thrust of the case was to deal with the children's poverty as the reason why they were not being educated. There is really no constitutional right not to be poor in this country, and so trying to find some constitutional provision that would help us along those lines was a futile effort. So language became a part of it, and since that language barrier seemed to impact adversely only on black youngsters, we were able to tie in the race issue.
The most significant thing that I believe was raised during that trial was that you had a federal judge acknowledge formally that African-American vernacular English represented a significant linguistic barrier to academic achievement and success.
Have a wife, so I have married this bottle.
It's a joke, isn't it?
Ah! Oh, suck up my clit.
I love you.
And he comes.
You see, for the friend. And I said, okay.
Psychic TV.
Great.
Trip reset.
What do you mean by where is the third mind?
I am Brother Love. Underground radio. And as Tom Gregg calls it, Radio Free Rock.
Let me
nice to be with you. Happy you could stick around. Like to introduce Legs Larry Smith, drums. And Sam Spoon's rhythm pole. And Vern Dudley Bohay Noel, bass guitar. And Neil Innes, piano. Come in, Rodney Slater on the saxophone. With Roger Ruskin Spear on tenor sax. Hi, Vivian Stanchel, trumpet. Big hello to Big John Wayne, xylophone. And Robert Morley, guitar. Billy Butlin, spoons. And looking very relaxed, Adolf Hitler on vibes. Nice. Princess Anne on sousaphone. Introducing Liberace, clarinet. With Donna Ted Armstrong on vocals. Lord Snooty and his pals tap dancing. In the groove with Harold Wilson, violin. Franklin McCormack on harmonica. Over there, Eric Clapton, ukulele. Hi, Eric. On my left, Sir Kenneth Park, bass sax. Great honor, sir. Specially flown in for us, a Sessions Gorilla on Vox Humana. Nice to see Incredible Shrinking Man on euphonium. Drop out with Peter Scott on Duck Call. Hearing from you later, Casanova, on horn. Yeah, digging General de Gaulle on accordion. Really wild, General. Thank you, sir. Roy Rogers on trigger. Julian Wildman of Borneo on bongos. Count Basie Orchestra on triangle. Thank you. Great to hear the Rawlinsons on trombone. Back from his recent operation, Dan Drop, hot. And representing the flower people, Quasimodo on bells. Wonderful to hear Brainiac on banjo. We welcome Baldunikins himself. Very appealing, Max Jaffa. That's nice, Max. What a team, Zebra Kid and Horace Batchelor on percussion. And a great favorite and a wonderful performer, all of us here, J. Arthur Rank on gong.
I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you, alone, boop-boop-be-doo. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you, alone. I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-doodly-dum. I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone.
I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own. I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you. The deedly 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 dum, poop poopy doop.
Just can't get enough. I just can't get enough. Okay, all right. All right. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you are? Do you know what you're doing? I'm asking myself that. Isn't that a Lou Reed ripoff? I know this is a Depeche Mode cover. This is the Nouvelle Vague, which means that it's really new and vague. And that was Marilyn Monroe doing I Want to Be Loved by You. And the Guess Who in the Tractor remix, 2.5 Tractor remix of American Woman. And what, we heard some Ornette Coleman back there. What is the name of that song? And some Miyoki Shiomi and some Leslie Howard and some Arvo Part. And we're listening to some Splinter Test. Underground Radio. And we heard a long chunk about American vernacular from Bill Moyers. This has been a little set called Love of Language, here to kick off Moaning Becomes Me. Hey, maybe I ought to post this one, huh? Maybe this is the show to post. I don't know. Did you get it? Are you listening close? Or is this just background fog while you're at work? I swear this is a Lou Reed ripoff.
Sitting on her pretty pauper's fanny, expecting you to be the one from whom all blessings flow.
Yes.
Oh.
I noticed that your hands are tiny, your feet are small as a woman. Long, graceful fingers.
It seems to be all head and tail.
God.
Most round little head or body and a very long
God.
Tail. And with the tail, it can wriggle and swim.
Sin.
Don't ever hide.
Now, never had a whole congregation fell on the floor. Sinner
language.
Fuck!
Principal
Fuck.
Crime in this regard is the seduction of women.
Moaning.
In the confessional.
There's only one thing left.
Definitely.
To do. Stand and fight.
Becomes
there
me.
Is no tension now.
Militant atheism.
Pooh Daddy. This sweet black motherfucker.
The taking, the consuming of drugs.
You yellow son of a bitch.
The Prince of Harpooners.